You know, it's funny. We spend so much time obsessing over the last mile of delivery,
Oh, yeah.
the drones, the self-driving vans, all of it. But if you really look at the macro picture of global supply chains, the real nightmare isn't the van getting stuck in traffic.
No, it's not.
It's that, that black hole the package just sits in for 3 days before it even clears the port.
That is the universal frustration, isn't it?
Yeah.
And usually when we talk about supply chain friction, people assume it's physical.
Right. The visible stuff.
Exactly. A crane broke down, a ship got stuck in a canal, or there's a driver shortage.
But I was reading through the source material for today, Algorithmic Borders, the AI Revolution in Global Trade Compliance. And it points a finger at something much more boring and way more expensive. It's not the ship, it's the paperwork.
It is entirely the paperwork. And the numbers are just staggering. The source highlights a statistic that frames this whole thing perfectly. Document processing and border compliance. They account for roughly 20% of total global transportation costs.
20%. That is a massive chunk of change. If you think about the trillions of dollars moving around the globe, that's not just a fee. It's a structural inefficiency. It's basically a hidden tax on the entire global economy.
Exactly. Pure, unadulterated friction. And today's deep dive is essentially an autopsy of that friction, and more importantly, a look at how we're finally moving away from the 1980s infrastructure that created it.
So we're talking AI agents, digital twins.
And what the source calls algorithmic borders.
And I want to be clear for everyone listening, we aren't just talking about upgrading a PDF reader here. The source frames this as a survival level evolution.
It absolutely is.
If you're running a global logistics operation on legacy tech, you're basically bringing a knife to a nuclear fight.
It's an urgent structural evolution, yes. Because the
Yep.
current system isn't just expensive, it's collapsing under its own weight.
Okay, let's dig into that collapse, the autopsy of the broken system. The source says the information architecture running global trade is, what, 40 years old?
It's a terrifying legacy. We're talking about systems built when Flashdance was in theaters.
And the cost of sticking with that is what you call demurrage and detention.
Oh, the dreaded D&D.
Right. And for those who don't manage shipping manifests for a living, this is not Dungeons and
Not
Dragons.
at all.
This is the fee shipping lines charge you when your container just sits at the port, taking up space. Because you can't get it cleared.
Precisely. And these are not small fines. We are talking thousands of dollars a day
Yeah.
per container. It just bleeds working capital.
And the tragedy is why they get stuck.
It's rarely because of contraband or some dramatic bust.
It's the butterfly effect of bureaucracy, right? I love this example in the source. A clerk in, say, Shenzhen makes a single keystroke error on a certificate of origin.
Just one.
Maybe they swap an A for an E in a name or transpose two numbers in the HS code.
The harmonized system code, right? If that code is wrong, the receiving country doesn't know if you're importing microchips or potato chips.
And in the legacy system, that one character typo is a complete showstopper. You can't just cross it out with a pen.
No, because it usually invalidates the letter of credit. The banks won't release the funds.
So the customs agents freeze the cargo.
And you have to physically reissue documents, sometimes couriering paper, across the ocean while your container racks up those detention fees.
The insight here really is that human bandwidth just can't handle the complexity anymore.
It can't. Too many regulations, too many sanctions, too much volume for humans to manually type perfectly every single time.
Which brings us to the rescue, the robots, specifically autonomous AI agents.
Right.
Now, we've all seen OCR optical character recognition for years. You scan a receipt, it tries to turn it into text.
And it's usually a mess if there's a coffee stain or a weird font.
Exactly. But the source makes a big distinction between that old tech and what's coming online in 2026.
It is a massive leap. Old OCR was template-based. You had to tell the computer, look for the date in the top right corner.
So it was brittle if the vendor moved the date.
The system broke.
Yeah.
Extremely brittle. The new AI agents, they're built on large language models and advanced machine vision. They don't use templates.
They use semantic understanding.
Exactly. They read the document like a human does. They can handle low-res scans, overlapping stamps, signatures scrawled over the text, and they still hit 99.9% accuracy.
But the part that really caught my attention wasn't just the reading, it was the cross-referencing. because reading is passive.
Ah, yeah.
The source says these agents are actively auditing the data.
That is the aha moment. It's the context layer. The AI doesn't just read the bill of lading in isolation.
It reads the packing list and the commercial invoice at the same time.
Yes, and it compares them. It notices, hey, the gross weight on the bill of lading is 50 kilograms heavier than what's on the packing list.
And it catches that discrepancy before the data ever gets sent to customs.
Milliseconds before. It converts all that messy, unstructured data, the PDFs, the scans, into structured JSON payloads and injects it right into the ERP.
I want to pause on that because that shift from unstructured to structured is the holy grail here, isn't it?
It is.
You're taking a chaotic pile of digital paper and turning it into a clean, queryable database instantly.
Which is exactly why the error rate drops to near zero. You eliminate the fat finger errors and the logic errors.
So accuracy unlocks speed. But it doesn't just solve delays, it solves crimes. The source pivots here to the geopolitical side of things.
Right. Sanctions evasion and trade-based money laundering.
And this is where the tech moves from being a really efficient clerk to a digital detective.
It really does. In the old days, and frankly, in many companies today, compliance checking is just a keyword search. You take the names on the invoice and run them against a blacklist.
Which is incredibly easy to bypass. If I'm a bad actor, I just register a new shell company. Global Logistics Solutions Limited.
Something generic. The keyword search comes up clean and you ship your sanctioned goods.
It's a porous defense.
Extremely. But the new AI agents use knowledge graphs. This is a total paradigm shift. Instead of just looking at the name, the AI looks at the relationships.
It connects the dots.
All of them. The source walks through a scenario where the AI analyzes a pro forma invoice and spots a buyer in Dubai. On paper, a legitimate company.
Looks totally fine.
But the knowledge graph sees this entity was registered only 3 days ago. It checks the corporate registry, sees the board of directors, then it traverses the graph.
And what does it find?
It sees that one of those directors is also a shareholder in a different company that was sanctioned 2 years ago in a totally different jurisdiction.
It's like 6 degrees of separation, but for financial crime. A human analyst would never see that.
Not in a million years, not looking at a single invoice. And the AI does it for every single transaction, and it halts the shipment before it leaves the origin port.
Wow. So it saves the exporter from frozen accounts, massive fines.
Or even jail time.
So that's the detective work. Let's go back to the speed aspect. If your data is this clean, and you've vetted the security risks, the way you interact with customs should change. The source talks about predictive clearance.
This is the move from destination inspection to predictive modeling. Traditionally, customs works on a bottleneck system. The ship arrives, the officer reviews the papers, decides whether to inspect. It's reactive.
Which creates all that uncertainty we talked about at the start. You never know if your box is going to sit there for a week.
But with predictive customs clearance, the government's AI assesses the risk while the container is still on the ocean. It looks at the importer's history, the routing, the data quality.
So if I'm a high-volume shipper, my data is perfect. I have no history of violations.
You get the green channel. The container is digitally cleared days before arrival. It moves through smart gates with zero physical intervention.
And the customs officers.
They stop wasting time looking for needles in haystacks. They focus 100% of their bandwidth on the red channel, the high-risk shipments flagged by the algorithm.
It optimizes the government's resources just as much as the company's.
Right.
But, okay, this all sounds like a utopia of efficiency. We have to address the elephant in the server room, the protocol wars.
Yes.
Because we've got these super smart AIs speaking modern languages like JSON and REST APIs, but they have to talk to government mainframes that are, let's be honest, running on steam power.
It is the clash of civilizations. You have the modern tech stack, flexible, real-time APIs, and then you have the ports and customs agencies running on EDI, Electronic Data Interchange.
I can hear the developers listening to this groaning in unison. EDI is the cockroach of the internet.
It survives everything. It is rigid, it is flat, it's unforgiving. If you try to map a complex JSON object into a flat EDIFACT file, things break. You lose data.
So what's the solution? You can't just call up the government and tell them to update their backend by Tuesday.
You need a bridge. The source calls it AI-driven middleware. It's an incredibly complex translation layer.
A universal translator.
Basically, yeah. It takes that fluid modern data and forces it into the rigid 1980s boxes that the government computers require without losing a single digit.
That's the unsexy invisible glue holding this whole revolution together.
It really is.
Okay, let's pivot from the digital glue to the physical world. a physical box still has to move. The source brings up digital twins and the Industrial Internet of Things, or IIoT.
Smart containers. And the example they give is the cold chain-like vaccines or frozen meat moving from Brazil to the UAE. You have a reefer container rigged with sensors.
Monitoring temperature, humidity, shock.
Everything. Yeah. And the AI maintains a digital twin of this container. So whatever happens to the real box happens to the data model in real time.
Okay, so imagine the sensor detects a temperature spike in the Indian Ocean. The compressor fails.
The vaccines are ruined. In the old world, you wouldn't know until arrival. Disputes would last for months.
It was fine when it left my warehouse.
Well, it was spoiled when it got here. But with the digital twin, the sensor data acts as an oracle.
And just to clarify, an oracle in this sense isn't a fortune teller. It's a trusted data feed that triggers code in a smart contract.
Correct. The sensor tells the AI temperature exceeded 8 degrees. The AI feeds that to the blockchain smart contract, and the contract automatically executes. It penalizes the shipper and flags the cargo for inspection.
No emails, no phone calls, no lawyers.
Just code executing consequences based on physical reality.
Mm-hmm.
It creates a system of trustless truth. You don't need to trust the other party. You just trust the sensor.
But can you trust the sensor? This brings us to the part of the source material that genuinely spooked me. The new nightmare.
Mm.
We're automating everything, removing humans, relying on data. Doesn't that just paint a giant target on the data itself?
It absolutely does. This is the era of data poisoning and adversarial attacks.
It changes the nature of smuggling completely. You don't bribe the guard anymore.
Hire a hacker. Precisely. Yep. If that green channel clearance depends entirely on the data looking safe, the criminal's goal is to make the data lie.
So compromising a sensor, how does that work?
Well, there are two main ways. One is just spoofing the signal, feeding the computer a fake temperature is okay signal. But the more sophisticated threat is attacking the AI model itself.
An adversarial attack.
Yes. You can manipulate an image, say an X-ray scan of a container, by adding a layer of digital noise that is invisible to the human eye.
So look at the X-ray, I see a pile of guns.
But the AI looks at it, and because of that digital noise, it classifies it as agricultural machinery with 99% confidence.
That's terrifying. You're basically hypnotizing the border guard.
It means cybersecurity is no longer just IT support. It is border control. Defending the integrity of your data is just as critical as building a physical fence.
Okay, so despite all these risks, the hackers, the spoofing, the protocol wars, the source material lands on a very definitive conclusion. Companies are doing this anyway, and fast.
They have to. It comes down to brutal economics. The total cost of ownership, or TCO.
And the source provided that comparison, the tech and analytical table.
The numbers are stark.
You have the traditional team, 5 humans, salaries, benefits, overhead, costing about $250,000 a year, plus fines from their 8% error rate.
Bringing the total to over $340,000 annually, just to push paper.
Versus the AI engine.
You have setup costs, token usage fees, maybe $35,000, $40,000,
mm-hmm.
but the processing time drops from days to seconds. And the error rate drops from 8% to 0.01%.
So you're looking at a 90% cost reduction. But I have to play devil's advocate here.
Please.
90% looks great on a spreadsheet, but we all know the reality of IT projects, the implementation nightmare. Is that 90% savings real, or is it marketing fluff that ignores the huge initial cost?
That is a fair pushback.
Uh-huh.
The initial lift is heavy. You have to integrate that middleware. You have to clean your data. The first year might not show that 90% savings.
Okay.
But the source argues this isn't about ROI in year one. It's about the strategic directive.
Mm.
And that directive is that manual processes are a security vulnerability. Even if the AI costs the same as the humans, you would still have to switch. Because humans can't parse a million node knowledge graph to find a sanctioned entity. Humans can't monitor 10,000 IoT sensors in real time. If you stay manual, you are effectively blind.
So it's not just about being cheaper. It's about being capable of operating in the modern world at all.
Exactly. Companies relying on humans to manually type data into portals will be eradicated. Not just because they're expensive, but because they are too slow and too risky for the global banking system to trust.
Eradicated. It's a harsh word, but when you look at the speed of this transition, it feels accurate. We are moving from a world of paper stamps to a world of algorithmic borders.
And that changes the fundamental nature of the border itself. It's no longer a line on a map. It's a server rack. It's a decision gate made of code.
And that leads to the final lingering question for me. We're building this incredibly efficient automated beast to run the global economy. It's fast, cheap, it catches the bad guys. But if our border control is essentially a black box algorithm, who is actually in charge.
That is the question, isn't it? Is it the government setting the policy? Or is it the algorithm interpreting the data?
And if the algorithm says no, who do you appeal to? You can argue with a customs officer.
Good luck arguing with a neural network. We are handing over the keys to the kingdom in exchange for efficiency. We just have to hope the driver knows where it's going.
Something to mull over the next time your package tracking says, customs clearance. In progress. It's a brave new world out there. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into algorithmic borders.
A pleasure, as always.
We'll catch you on the next one.